As Reb said earlier, we are starting our series through the theme of the unstoppable kingdom, in starting in Acts chapter 1 today. And it's beautifully decorated for us behind me. Thanks, Chris, and your team for capturing in a really, really nice way the feeling that I want us to have as we go through this series. And I want to start by expressing the truth that there are only two kingdoms. Now, of course, I'm not talking about political boundaries around the planet. I am talking about what lies underneath. And what lies underneath is what influences everything. What lies underneath is eternal, what we experience is temporary. And underneath what lies is these two kingdoms which the Bible talks about. And there are only two. The Bible uses terms like the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. These are earthly descriptors to try to capture what this kingdom, what these kingdoms are. The Bible uses descriptors like the kingdom of evil and the kingdom of good, and the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of God. And these two kingdoms operate together in our reality. Now, at the beginning, God made everything, and there was light. Only the kingdom of light. But we read in the Bible that somewhere in that time space, there was rebellion in heaven, and darkness came out of that. And since that time, Satan has influenced his kingdom, the darkness, the kingdom of darkness. And because Adam disobeyed God and followed Satan's instruction instead, then Satan's darkness enveloped the earth, and the earth became fallen and dark. And so the earth is part of Satan's kingdom. The Bible talks about this dark world. It talks about Satan as the prince of darkness, or the prince of this world. And the reason why Satan is the prince of the world is because people continue to choose darkness instead of light. People give in to the temptations and suggestions of the kingdom of darkness, and they follow that instead of the kingdom of light. And this is true all throughout history. Yet God had a plan, and we know this. He had a plan that he would set apart a group of people where he could shine his light into that tiny space so the world could still know what the light looked like. And so Jesus set apart this group of people, starting with a family, with Abraham and the patriarchs. And those people journeyed through, and he revealed himself to them. He spoke to them. He revealed his laws to them. He did miracles among them. He blessed them. He protected them. He guided them. He sometimes punished them to show the world what the kingdom of light actually looked like. Yet it was just an image. It was a blurry image because people were still in the dark world, in the kingdom of darkness. But God had a plan that they would be preserved until just the right time in history. And at just the right time in history, the Word of God, the one who created all things, who was there in the beginning, who's co-eternal with the Father, became human. Born to a virgin female, fully human, but born from heaven, the seed of heaven, fully God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus was the first one to live completely in the light. He is the example of what it looks like to live perfectly obedient. Adam had that chance, but he failed. Jesus, the Bible talks about Jesus in a way as the second Adam, lived perfectly. If you want to know what it is like to live perfectly in the kingdom, look at Jesus and how he lived. He didn't come just to set an example, though, because through his death and resurrection, Jesus opened a doorway, a portal between the two kingdoms. And so Jesus created a pathway out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light for any who would walk through it. And we know we walk through it by believing him by faith. And this is how the Apostle John puts it in John chapter 1. And many of you will be very familiar with these verses. John chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. He's talking about what Jesus actually did in bringing the light into the kingdom of darkness, piercing through the dark kingdom to provide a doorway back to the kingdom of light. In Jesus, light has come into the world, and there is nothing the darkness can do about it. And since that moment, the light has spread. It has spread right throughout the world, and the darkness tries to extinguish it, but it can't. We know that. You light a candle in a dark room, it doesn't matter how dark the room gets. In fact, the darker it gets, the brighter the candle seems. You cannot extinguish light with darkness. And that is why the kingdom of darkness can't stop the kingdom of light. Adam may have given over his dominion to Satan, but Jesus claims it back for him and for all who follow him. And everywhere that the kingdom spreads, the light of heaven follows and people are changed from the inside out. The glory of heaven actually gets into the souls of people and it affects the world. But you cannot understand this topic. You cannot even be involved in this movement, this kingdom, unless you first understand one thing, and that is the nature of the kingdom, and that this kingdom is spiritual. It is a spiritual kingdom and a spiritual movement, not a worldly kingdom, not a worldly movement. Unless we understand that the nature of the church on earth is a spiritual kingdom, unless we get that, we will never really understand our role as a church in the world. We'll be like the Jewish people in Jesus' day who heard the words Jesus said, but they interpreted only in worldly terms. They didn't get it. They didn't understand that the words that Jesus was speaking were spiritual words of life that affected eternal things, not just temporary things. They didn't understand Jesus' teaching because they weren't listening with spiritual ears, only worldly ears. All our experiences, all our senses are worldly. That's how we understand the things around us. That's how we feed ourselves. That's how we protect ourselves, by understanding how the world works. But we must also allow ourselves to be renewed by God in our thinking so that we can understand how the Spirit works. You cannot operate in a spiritual kingdom if our strategies are only worldly strategies. Now, unfortunately, history is littered with examples of the church trying to produce spiritual outcomes through worldly methods. We have many of those examples that we can look back on. The first is the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire tried to force Christianity onto its subjects by making it the official religion of the empire. The Crusades in the Middle Ages tried to stop the advance of Islam through war. The church tried to improve the world by gaining power in politics. All of these are examples of worldly methods to try and expand a spiritual kingdom. And the end result was awful. Many, many dark seasons in the church history exist because leaders and people in the church tried to use worldly methods to expand a spiritual kingdom. And all attempts to advance the kingdom with worldly methods will only end up resulting in a man-made religion. There is no light of God that shines in that space. It is only when the Spirit moves that the followers of Jesus can have any significant impact on the world at all. Today we're looking at Acts chapter 1 and some very, very important words that Jesus had to say to the apostles. We're looking at Acts chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, and it shows the difference in how a worldly movement is started over how a spiritual movement is started. I mean, if you were looking at this in a worldly way, you had information, you had knowledge about who Jesus was and what he would do, and you looked at that in simply worldly terms, how would you launch that? Let's read in Acts chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. Once, when he was eating with them, that's Jesus it's referring to, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." All of the apostles had been baptized. All of them were believers. And all of them were followers. But there was something yet that the apostles had to experience. And Jesus tells them to wait. Now, these guys, they knew Jesus. They had walked with him for 3 years. They had been his witnesses. They understood his teaching. They had even actually exercised power to heal the sick and cast out demons. Remember when Jesus sent them out two by two? And they experienced what it was like to operate in that spiritual power. They knew a whole lot. They were witnesses of his death and resurrection. They had a lot to say. But they weren't to go and spread that witness yet. There was one thing that remained before they could advance the name of Jesus. They had to wait for the Spirit to come. Because it wasn't just about knowledge and technique. If our witness is only about knowledge and technique, then we don't need the Spirit at all. And so we study the Bible so that we can know the truth of God and recognize the truth, and that is really important. We study the Bible so that we can answer questions that people might have about God, and that's really, really important. We have plans of attack. We have methods of sharing, like Alpha or Christianity Explained. None of that is wrong. But it's the work of the Spirit that brings life change. That's what's the most important thing. And that's what the disciples needed. They had the knowledge, but they needed the power to influence. Someone will only change their life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's a spiritual movement. We must understand this. This is why prayer is so important, because it is one of the things that engages the spirit world. Now, I know that there are a range of understandings about what prayer is here in this church. Some haven't learnt much about that in their experience, some a great deal. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say prayer engages the spirit world. Some of you might not have much knowledge of that at all. Perhaps some of us are still nervous about going to a prayer meeting because we're not sure what to say or how to pray out loud. And so we're all at different journeys. But one thing we must understand is if you are going to operate in the Spirit with any kind of power at all, you need spiritual weapons, and prayer is the most powerful. So that when we're witnessing, yes, we need knowledge, but we also need to pray over that person, because it's a work of the Spirit that we need to happen. There is nothing wrong with intelligence, and there is nothing wrong with planning. But without the Spirit, those things will not produce spiritual results. And I've said that oodles of times before. On one occasion, Jesus said this after Peter confessed that he was the Son of God. In Matthew 16, Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the power of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." This is a prophetic word from the Son of God to the apostles. He is talking about the time when the Spirit will be poured out on the believers, and it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said the powers of hell will not overcome it. If you read that in the original, it'd sound more like the gates of hell will not overcome it. And this image that Jesus paints, you know, back in those days, cities had walls, right? And the stronger the king was, the bigger and the fatter his wall was, so to speak, and because he could guard his city, right? So walls are really important. And so if you understand that worldly image in terms of spiritual kingdom, there are two kingdoms. So the kingdom of darkness, you can imagine that it erects walls and barriers. And what Jesus is saying is, as the kingdom of light advances through the ministry of the apostles and us, the walls won't stand. This is not an image of the kingdom of darkness coming against us and we're cowering in some kind of trench. No, no, it's the opposite. The image Jesus is evoking here is of a kingdom that is unstoppable, moving against the darkness so that the darkness cannot resist it. And we know that is true. Hell no longer has power because there's a way to get to heaven. And there's nothing hell can do about that for those who believe. He says another thing here. He talks about the keys of the kingdom. I hand you the keys of the kingdom. Now, I know a lot of different understandings of that there. But what he's saying is, I'm giving dominion back to you. The first time God did this was with Adam and Eve. Now, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, the dominion comes back. And we have real power and authority in the world because of what Jesus has done. And there's nothing the darkness can do about it. The keys of the kingdom is the power of God to operate, and the gospel, the message of the truth about eternal life, the way to heaven. And those keys unlock heaven for anyone who would believe. Jesus is building a kingdom on earth, and he refers to it as church. I will build my church. The church is the kingdom of God on earth. That is how we are to understand it theologically. That is how Jesus taught it. Not the organization necessarily, because that can become corrupt, but the power of the gathered believers praying and moving in the power of the Spirit as one. Nothing can stop that. It was initiated by the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit came and the church was born. The light piercing into the darkness and continues to spread. And it is spreading by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit allows this kingdom to expand and grow. And as it expands and grows throughout the world, those who are believers become now guardians of that message. The message that releases people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the message of salvation. And as each person believes and it spreads around the world, lives are changed. And you can see the footprints of the kingdom of light because there's goodness there. In fact, if you travel around the world, if without even knowing the history of a country, you can likely tell whether the gospel has touched that culture or not. And there are a lot of markers for that. The way Jesus talked about equality. The way that Jesus talked about forgiveness and peace, kindness and gentleness, fairness, justice. The justice systems of countries that have been touched by the kingdom of light are better than those that haven't. The way relationships unfold. Our ideas about education. All of that. The kingdom of light affects those things. The Spirit of God is given so that we might be witnesses. And we all hold those same keys. The power of the Spirit is within every single one of us to act on Jesus' behalf in the areas that He has called us. This is what Jesus says further along in Acts chapter 1. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world." God's intention was that this kingdom of light would spread beyond Jerusalem, beyond the Jews, to the Samaritans, to the Gentiles, and around the world. What started in a slither of coastline in the Middle East has spread across all of the continents on earth because the power of the Spirit has been with it. Jesus' heart is for the whole world, for the message to spread to every generation, every race, every type of people. That as they are convicted by the Spirit, as they hear the message, they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they too can be a part of this kingdom of light. And that power of God is working within us. And we can see it. And God is working even today. I want to tell you a story that I heard last Sunday. I was invited to come along to the Alpha team training because Debbie's a leader, so I was invited to come to dinner. It was a very lovely dinner, but we shared about some stories. And there's this church in Sydney. This is a modern story, right? This is current. And it runs Alpha regularly. Churches that run Alpha regularly is really, really good because they get a name for that. And so people start turning up. If they, you know, want to know about Jesus, go down to that church. They run an Alpha course, right? And this church in Sydney were getting about 35 to 50 people every time they ran Alpha. Now, that is mind-boggling. Considering the first time we ran Alpha, we got four. Now, last year we ran Alpha, it was a little bit better. But 35, that's magnificent. Well, this church, the last time they ran Alpha, they got 300 people sign up. This is not years ago, this is last year. They had such a big sign up that they didn't know how to get leaders to walk these people through. You see, this is what the Holy Spirit does. If we used only worldly methods, yeah, we'd advertise, we'd letterbox drop and do all those things. But when the Spirit gets hold of people, don't tell me that people aren't interested in God. 300 people who are not Christians signed up for this Alpha course in this church in Sydney because they wanted to know more about Jesus. There is a curiosity, believe me. And we have the keys. We have the answers to what people are hunting for. The Holy Spirit is active in the world, working through churches and ministries and people, and believe it or not, working even in your friends on your front line. Look for it. Pay attention to what God's doing in their life so that you can speak into that. The gospel has indeed spread geographically all around the world. Politically, in almost every country in the world, the gospel has found its way into that country, even the countries that are shut off to it. Language-wise, there are a lot more languages than there are political countries, but we're working on it. So the Yao people in Malawi, for example, Malawi is a country, but the Yao people are a language group within that country, one of the unreached people groups that we were working on and that we support Tim and Mel and Jean-Claude and Joyce in that. So there's still a little bit to go in language, but our responsibility remains to the next generation. You see, every year, children are being born that don't know the gospel yet. And so when Jesus says, you know, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, that is true geographically, so wide, the gospel spreads wide, but it must also spread deep within the generations of those countries. So the job is never finished because there's always a new generation. Children are being born into the world. They're growing up in the world, and we have the keys to their salvation right in our hand. And that is why ministry of the gospel is still important and always will be. We're on a 5-week journey called the Unstoppable Kingdom. And in that journey, we want to understand the nature of the spiritual movement, how God includes people in it, why it spreads and why it can't be stopped, and how it has expanded over history. We're going to dive into that over the course of the next 5 weeks. I would love you to know the experience of that through growth group. There are a number of growth groups that are meeting at various times, some in the daytime, some at nighttime. There's still plenty of room if you are wanting this journey. The sermons will be on the topic, but I can't cover everything that I have prepared in a 30-minute sermon. So I would encourage you to sign up today as those studies commence this week. And pray. My goal in this series is that we might understand what God is doing, that we might become more confident about who we are and more bold as we realize that the kingdom of God is spreading. We are the advancers. We are not to retreat. That is not who we are. And I pray that at the end of this, we'll have a sense of great encouragement and boldness through this ministry as we move this year. So please sign up. Please sign up and please commit to this time that we can walk this journey together. Let us pray for that. Lord, when we look at what you have done over the course of history and what you're doing even within our culture, the loudest anti-Christian noises cannot drown out what the gospel offers for any who believe. Father, the knowledge of sins being cleansed, of an eternal plan, of salvation, Lord, far outweighs any negative, antagonistic voice that might be aimed at your church. I want to thank you that you don't call us to do this on our own, but you have sent the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, and that He is doing that, and that we can see evidence of it even here. I thank you for each opportunity that you give us. Every single one of us has connection with people that don't know the gospel. Thank you for that opportunity, that we can shine that light into that space. We thank you, Lord, that this is a work that you do through us and by your power. And I pray, Lord, this year for 2022, that what we see is not just the results of human effort, but that what we see is the fruit of your Spirit working powerfully in us and through us. Lord, we want this for your glory and for the salvation of people that would come to you if only they knew and understood. Lead us to those people that they might know how to enter into your kingdom. We thank you that the kingdom of light is spreading and there's nothing the darkness can do. We thank you that any victories the darkness might gain are temporary only. You've got this eternally. And we thank you for that. Lord, I pray courage and encouragement into each of our hearts. Lord, let us be bold, let us be confident because of what you're doing in and through us. Lord, if there's any in our church that haven't yet come to that place of stepping into that kingdom of light, I ask, Lord, that you would draw them powerfully and strongly. Lord, as we continue to build disciples, pray, Father, you help us to do that by the power of your Spirit. So take these prayers, Lord, that we offer to you. We trust you in Jesus' name and we pray them for your glory. Amen.